Hello and welcome to Radio Inqilab, a podcast focused on change makers who are working to educate, resolve, and change the complex systems within which we live. Radio Inqilab aims to bring voices to the forefront who have traditional as well as modern solutions for our planet, can share knowledge on how we take decisive action and live in harmony with each other and Mother Earth. In this time of chaos, disinformation, and negativity, Radio Inqilab seeks to focus on ideas that work and the positive impact they can have. My name is Rupande Mehta, and I come to you from Lenape Land in New Jersey. Today, our guest is Ayed Abu Iktaish. Ayed has worked with DCI Palestine since 2000 and currently holds the position of Accountability Program Director. The main focus of Ayed's work is child detention issues, including the documentation of cases of ill treatment and torture. Ayed studied social work and has a master's degree in advanced studies in children's rights from the Fribourg University in Switzerland. Defense for Children International Palestine is an independent local Palestinian child rights organization based in Ramallah, dedicated to defending and promoting the rights of children living in the West Bank, including East Jerusalem and the Gaza Strip. Since 1991, they have investigated, documented, and pursued accountability for grave human rights violations against children, held Israeli and Palestinian authorities accountable to universal human rights principles, and advocated at the international and national levels to advance justice and protection for children. They provide direct legal aid to children in distress. Ayed, welcome to the podcast. So happy to have you here today.
Me too, thank you.
So let's talk a bit about the work that your organization does. Can you tell me a little bit more about what DCIP does in Palestine?
The DCIP, it's a child rights organization affiliated to international movement. Around the world, there are about 40 sections. The relation between these sections is coordination relations. So every section develops its programs, activities according to the needs in each community. So some sections work on the issue of child labor, street children. In Palestine, we work through two main programs. The first one, with the accountability program. And under this program, there are three units. The first one is monitoring and documentation unit, where we document the Israeli violations to Palestinian children's rights, as well as the Palestinian Authority violation against Palestinian children. As a small organization, we do not have the capacity to document all the violations enshrined in the Convention on the Rights of the Child, so we concentrate on specific child rights issues. Like the right to life. And under this category, we document child fatalities, child injuries, using children as human shields, and settler violence, and the right to liberty. And under this category, we concentrate on early treatment and torturing Palestinian children in Israeli military legal system, as well as the lack of fair trial guarantees and the arbitrary detention. In relation to other rights, we touch upon other rights, but not in a comprehensive way, like the right to life and right to liberty, such as the right to adequate standard of living, right to education, right to health, and other rights enshrined in the Convention on the Rights of the Child. The second unit, it's the legal unit, where we provide legal services for Palestinian children, whether before the Israeli military legal system or before the Palestinian jurisdiction. So, in addition to providing legal services, we provide legal consultation for Palestinian children, mainly in the Israeli military legal system, before being interrogated by the Israeli authorities. And we use to conduct regular visits to the Israeli prisons in order to know about the whereabouts of Palestinian children, collect affidavits from them about how they have been treated and the information that we collect from the monitoring education, the monitoring and documentation unit, and the legal unit. We use it in our advocacy unit, which is the third unit within the accountability program, where we try to advocate for the rights of Palestinian children and on the international level. So we provide reports, information to UN agencies, UN monitoring bodies, human rights councils, and for government around the world, because we believe it's their responsibility to protect the rights of children in Palestine, because they are joining the same convention that Israel is a state party to, which is the Convention on the Rights of the Child. The other program, we work on the Palestinian level, and we call it Protection and Participation Program, where we try to raise the awareness of children and people who are working with children about children's rights, because we believe that the best way to protect children is to empower them to protect themselves by themselves. So we do training courses for children and for officials who are working with children in relation to children's rights and the human rights in general, in a way, in an attempt to create a protective environment where Palestinian children can enjoy their rights. Basically, the organization started 30 years ago or more, and the main purpose of the organization at that time was to defend Palestinian children before the Israeli military legal system. And this was the sole goal of the organization. But after 10 years of working in the Israeli military legal system, we came to the conclusion that it's almost impossible to reach justice through the Israeli military legal system. So we started collecting information about how the system is operating, how children are treated, in order to work on the international level to advocate to protect the rights of Palestinian children in the Israeli military legal system. And after that, the organization expanded in order to cover other child rights violation, as I mentioned, the right to life. And after that, we started working on the Palestinian level, because we believe that children's rights should be protected and respected, regardless of the perpetrator of the child right violation, whether it's the Israeli authorities or the Palestinian authority. So at the time being, after Palestine acceded to the Convention on the Rights of the Child, we work with the Palestinian Authority in order to raise issues related to children's rights, train the Palestinian officials, and also at the same time, we report to the Committee on the Rights of the Child through the alternative reports that we submit for this committee whenever there is a violation against Palestinian children's rights.
You talked about a lot of different rights that you're working towards protecting. The one thing that stood out to me was under the right to life, you talked about how Israel uses children as human shields.
Mm-hmm.
In the West, since October 7th of last year, there has been this whole propaganda of how Palestinians use human shields. Obviously, that is not accurate, and it is more of Israel doing that kind of behavior. That, along with all the other stuff that you talked about in terms of the ill treatment, administrative detention, and other rights of children that are being sort of flagrantly violated by Israel, and your study of Israel's systems, what are the things that you have found in terms of how that system operates, and what are the things that stood out to you in terms of how inhumane their system is?
First, I believe the first victim before a human being and the Israeli genocide campaign that started in the 7th of October 2023 was the fact. Because of the Israeli propaganda that followed the 7th of October, that Palestinians are raping Israeli women, they are beheading children, they are committing crimes against Israeli civilians. So I believe that the fact was the first victim, and unfortunately, many media outlets echoed the Israeli propaganda. And here it's important to note that this is not the first time that Israel used disinformation and misinformation to cover the atrocities that Israel committed against Palestinian people. So if we went back to the start of the second Intifada, when it was totally peaceful, the main message from the Israeli media machine was Palestinian mothers send their children to the front lines of the confrontation in order to be used like human shields. And unfortunately, all media outlets concentrate in this fact and distract from what's going on the ground. So they try to cover how Palestinian mothers are, how they are different from other mothers around the world. So at that time, it attracted the attention of the media, and the Israelis succeeded in distracting the attention from what's going on the ground in order to concentrate on marginal issue. During the Israeli invasion to Jenin camp in the year 2002, the main message or was that the Palestinian militants are using ambulances in order to transport wanted people or militant from one place to another place. And at that time, the media outlets concentrate on that issue and forget about the crimes that Israel is committing. And during one of the Israeli military offensive against Gaza, the main message that Israel or the Palestinians are misusing UNRWA vehicles in order to transport missiles from one place to another place, and the same happened. So propaganda and disinformation and misinformation, it's part and parcel of the Israeli campaign that goes side by side with the military campaigns that they started against Palestinian people. So as an organization, we concentrate on the facts. So our approach in collecting the evidence is to visit the scene where the incident took place, take affidavits and interview eyewitnesses, and also collect all evidence in order to know exactly how the violation took place. So we don't have a problem to say if we discovered during our investigation that this child was participating in hostilities. So because this is factual information and we try to reflect the situation as it is. And we believe that our capital is our credibility. So we try as much as possible to get the information from first-hand sources before using this information. And that's why many UN agencies and many media outlets approached us in order to get accurate and credible information. And we maintain this relation with these bodies as a result of our methodology and the work, how we are doing the work. So the issue of all the Israeli population, we try to document as it is. For example, between the year 2000 and 2023, we documented the killing of 2,300 Palestinian children. Two-thirds of those children were from Gaza. during after the 7th of October in the West Bank alone. We documented the killing of 166 Palestinian children. 81 of those children were killed between the 7th of October 2023 and the end of the year. And the other 85 children were killed since the beginning of the year until today. So this is our approach in collecting the information. So in Gaza now, we do not have accurate number about how many children were killed. And because the situation, whenever we are approached by anybody in order to ask about information related to children in Gaza, child fatality there as a result of the Israeli genocidal campaign in Gaza, we said that we do not have first-hand information, and we rely on our information on the Palestinian governmental media office or the Palestinian Ministry of Health. In relation to using children as a human shield, during this year, we documented many cases where children were used as a human shield in the West Bank. And also we documented many cases in the in Gaza Strip where the Israeli authorities arrested Palestinian children or the whole family and forced them to walk in front of the military tanks. And we published a piece about this issue on our website. But in Gaza, we can't say that we have accurate information how many Palestinian children were used as a human shields, because now it's very difficult for our field workers to collect this information, because it's not easy for our field workers to move from one place to other place. And because of the huge number of child rights violations, so as an organization, we don't know exactly about what to concentrate. So we concentrate on specific issue, like the issue of starvation and how Israel is weaponizing food against Palestinian people who are living in Gaza, stripped in general, and in the northern part of Gaza, and how many children, 36 Palestinian children, were killed as a result of starvation. So this is our approach in collecting our evidence. And wherever there was a violation from Palestinian authority or Palestinian armed group, we raised this issue because we believe that it's our responsibility as a child rights organization to protect children from any perpetrator, from any child rights violator. Because our responsibility to approach Palestinians in order to live up to their obligations and to protect Palestinian children. So whenever, for example, during the war in the year 2014, we documented the cases of six children who were killed during that war out of 535 Palestinian children who were participating in hostilities. But the level of participation, it was very limited. But even that, we highlighted this issue, and we call for the protection of Palestinian children during wartime and during all times.
Yeah, it's not okay to use children at any point. I agree with that. So you documenting it is definitely helpful, but I also understand the children who have maybe lost family members or others and are enraged at the occupation and step up to want to defend themselves. So it's two sides to that coin, right? So I've had guests on this podcast in the past, and they've talked about how administrative detention applies to women, applies to men. Is it exactly the same for children, or how does that work with children?
Mainly, it's the same. Administrative detention, it's a detention without charge, without court proceedings. The administrative detention order issued by the military commander of the area against the Palestinian child for maximum period for the one administrative detention term for 6 months, but this could be renewed indefinitely. This administrative detention order issued against children like adults and like every and Palestinian children pass through the same legal proceedings, or let's say it's because it's not legal, it's just a legal cover in order to show that to give some legality for the administrative detention orders. For example, after 8 days of issuing the military detention order, there is a legal review by a military court, and usually the military court approves the administrative detention order. And after that, the administrative detainee, whether he is a child or an adult, they have the right to appeal against the administrative detention order. But usually, the Court of Appeal approves the administrative detention order. During this period, there is a spike in the number of children placed under administrative detention order. Before the 7th of October, we used to have like 10 to 20, 10 to 15 Palestinian children under administrative detention orders at the end of each month, because we receive figures from the Israeli prison service about how many children are placed in Israeli prisons at the end of each month. Before the 7th of October, we used to have out of, let's say, 200, 10 are under administrative detention orders maximum. But the newly released figure at the end of September this year, out of the 242 Palestinian children in Israeli prisons, there was 85 Palestinian children placed under administrative detention orders, which means that more than 35% of child prisoners are placed under administrative detention order. The problem with administrative detention order, we regard that the whole Israeli military legal system is arbitrary. But the arbitrariness of this system is concentrated in the administrative detention orders issued against Palestinian children. Because in order to convince you that the whole system is arbitrary and the main purpose of the system is not to maintain justice, but to control and suppress people who live under the Israeli military, it will take time in order to convince you that the whole system is arbitrary and lacks fair trial guarantees. But when it comes to administrative detention order, it concentrates all the arbitrariness of the system and the administrative detention orders placed under against Palestinian children.
I also want to clarify a point you made. You said even children are presented in military court. There is no civil court even for the children.
Oh yeah. Yani Palestinian children are tried before Israeli military courts, and until the year 2011, there was mounting criticism to the Israeli authorities that they are trying Palestinian children before the Israeli military court. So as a result of this criticism from international officials, Israel introduced the juvenile military court. And introducing the juvenile military court, the main purpose is to release the pressure on Israel. Because whenever anybody hear the term juvenile military court, he will assume that this court takes into account the best interest of the child, takes into its account that arresting children should be a measure of last resort and for the shortest period of time. So your imagination started to work regardless of the facts on the ground. But since that time until now, we are monitoring the conduct of the Israeli juvenile courts. Juvenile Military Court, and we came to the conclusion that the Juvenile Military Court, it's like the military court because it operates according to the same military orders, the same judges, the same premises, the same procedures. Everything is the same. The only different that is the name. And also, until the 7th of October, they said they introduced some modification to the Israeli military legal system that applied to children. Like children should, for example, children between the age of 12 and under 14 should appear before a military court judge within 24 hours. For children between 14 and under 16, within 48 hours. And for children between 16 and under 18, within 72 hours. And this is this was like the best way to protect Palestinian children before the Israeli military court system. But since October 7th until now, children are treated like adults. They appear before a military court judge within 8 days. So the main purpose of and here it's important to note that the age of criminal responsibility before the Israeli military legal system is 12. And since that age, children may receive imprisonment sentence. At some point, there was some protection to children between the age of 12 and 14. But at some point, this protection was canceled. So children under 14, if they commit specific offenses, they may receive an imprisonment sentence. Here, it's important to note that when speaking about the issue of child prisoners, our departure point should be the discrimination against Palestinian children, because within the same geographical jurisdiction, there are two systems that are operating at the same time, the Israeli civilian system and the Israeli military legal system. The Israeli civilian system is applied to Israeli settlers who are living illegally in the occupied Palestinian territories, whereas the Israeli military legal system is applied to Palestinian children who are living under the Israeli occupation. And there are so much differences between the two systems in favor, for, of course, of the Israeli civilian system, because it has been designed to deal with Israeli children. So there were the issue of child prisoners was under the scrutiny of many UN agencies and many people around the world. So, for example, there was a report by UNICEF in order to examine how the military legal system is operating, and they provided like 40 recommendations for the Israeli authorities in order to improve the system. And we believe that the 40 recommendations are still valid because Israel did nothing in order to implement any of these recommendations. On the contrary, the situation since the 7th of October until now has been deteriorated dramatically. For example, now children since the 7th of October 2023 until now, they do not receive family visits. Lawyer visits are very restricted. In addition to that, court sessions are taking place through a video link. The child do not come to the court hall in order to attend his court session, but he is connected through a video link. There is no way for children to know about what's going on outside the prison walls. So there is no televisions, radios, there is no newspapers. So they are totally disconnected from the outside world. The only way to know about what's going outside the outside prison is through incoming newly arrested prisoners to inform them about the situation outside and the treatment of the prison guards is very bad comparing with before. The quantity and the quality of food provided to prisoners in general, among them children, is very bad and very few. So this is the situation inside prison at the time being. The conditions is very harsh. And when I speak about prisoners, I'm speaking about prisoners from the West Bank. In relation to prisoners from Gaza, we almost don't have any piece of information about them. We don't know about their whereabouts, their conditions, how they are treated, how many are they, where they are incarcerated. So we classify children arrested from Gaza Strip as forcefully disappeared children, because the Israeli authorities do not release any information about them, and they do not allow the International Committee of Red Cross to conduct visits to Israeli prisons in general, whether where prisoners from the West Bank or East Jerusalem or Gaza are incarcerated. So the situation now is very difficult.
So if I hear you correctly, you're saying that there's administrative detention of children, which can be implemented endlessly. So a child can be in prison for a very long time, during which time there is no family visits, restricted lawyer visits, no in-person court appearances. So the child is really not getting out of prison. No access to the outside world, bad food, limited food, and mistreatment by prison guards. And this can be to children as young as 12 years old.
As young as 18 years old. And for children
between 12
between
and
the
18,
ages
like...
between 12 and under 18.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
And regardless whether under placed under administrative detention orders or what, waiting for incarcerated, waiting for their trial or sentence, children, because in the Israeli military legal system, children are kept in pre-trial detention. So it's not like other legal systems around the world where the presume the innocence of the accused. So during the whole process, before being sentenced, children are kept in pre-trial detention. So these conditions and the disconnection from the outside world, it's applicable to administrative detainees and sentenced and children who are waiting for their trials.
And all of this is only happening, you're only specifically talking about West Bank. You have absolutely no idea of what is happening on the ground in Gaza right now.
That's true, because the Israeli authorities do not release any information about child prisoners for in Gaza. The only piece of information that we know about incarcerated children from Gaza, that inside a prison supervised by the Israeli prison service, there was 10 prisoners from Gaza incarcerated in these prisons. But this is not the total number of Palestinian children arrested from Gaza, because the majority of them are incarcerated and imprisoned in prisons supervised by the Israeli military. So the majority of Palestinians from Gaza are not placed in prisons under the Israeli prison service. So we get this piece of information because According to the information released at the end of September by the Israeli Prison Service, they classify those 10 children as unlawful combatant. And this category is applicable for Palestinian people from Gaza.
And explain what does that term mean?
Frankly, I don't know. This is the term applicable to prisoners from Gaza, not necessarily to be combatant, to be lawful or unlawful, because they invade this area in Gaza and arrest people. They expose them to ill treatment and torture after, and they may use them as human shields for 1 day or a few days, and after that they may release them or taking them to Israeli detention centers or prisons. This classification enables the Israeli authorities to incarcerate people from Gaza without presenting them to before the court for a long period of time. So this is the classification for people from Gaza.
So I'm sure you've spoken to some of these children who were incarcerated at some point and have now come out of prison. What are some of the things that they are telling you besides some of the things that you've already shared? What is their state of mind when they're out of prison, if they're lucky enough to be out of prison?
For children from the West Bank, we succeeded in interviewing some of them because our lawyers during this year they managed to conduct three prison visits. And the number of children that our lawyers interview inside prison, it's very limited. It's just a handful of just a few children, but we seized the opportunity to know about the conditions of Palestinian children inside Israel prison through interviewing children after being released. So they inform us about the ill treatment and torture that they pass through. And ill treatment and torture already, it was widespread, systematic, and institutionalized before the 7th of October, but it was intensified after that, especially during the arrest and the transportation to detention center process. So when they are arrested by the Israeli military, they exposed to harsh physical punishment by the Israeli soldiers. And after that, they report about ill treatment and torture, different types of torturing, like using physical types of ill treatment and torture or psychological pressure against Palestinian children, like placing them in solitary confinement, which is a cell that measures 1 by 2 meter for a long period of time without having any interaction with any human being. And this was prevalent before the 7th of October. It's not new. And the main purpose of this practice is to put pressure on the person who is under interrogation, whether he is a child or an adult, in order to extract confession from the child. And the whole atmosphere that the Israeli interrogator tried to create, that nobody cares about you, nobody knows about you, I can do whatever I want. The only way to get out of this system is to confess to the allegation against you. So, and under such situation and atmosphere, people tend to believe what the Israeli interrogator communicate to them, because there is no other channel to challenge the channel of the Israeli interrogator. And that's why the DCIP, we try to visit the child as early as possible to provide him with legal consultation during the interrogation in order to convey a message to the child that there is somebody who is caring about you and we are following your case and we are here to support you. So this is in order to psychologically support the Palestinian child under the Israeli occupation. But frankly, the atmosphere created by the Israeli interrogator succeeded in creating this atmosphere because, for example, the interrogator may place the child in a cell for 4 days without even inviting him for interrogation or whatever. And after the 4 days, he may pretend that he was passing by coincidence and opened the door, and he was astonished that the child is still there. Are you there? Or something like that. So the child will receive the message that this time they forget me for 4 days. Next time they may forget me for 4 months. What the guarantee that they will not forget me? So this is the atmosphere that the Israeli interrogators tried to create during the interrogation. And here it's important that the main purpose of the whole Israeli military legal system is not to reach justice, but to suppress and control Palestinian people who are living under Israeli occupation. And you can prove this issue since the early beginning of arresting the Palestinian child until the child is released from the Israeli prisons. And inside the prison, the main purpose is to break the psychological well-being of people who pass through this experience. And it's very harsh for adults, and you can imagine how harsher it for minors, because the living conditions and the atmosphere. So the Israeli prisons administration tried to like create submissive void that and this is very prevalent through everything. For example, when you are inside the prisons, even you can't make any decision, regardless how small is it. So it's all about how to cope with this situation and how to resist this situation, because this situation is abnormal and should be resisted and refused. And at the same time, it's a reality that should be lived and fighting ways in order to pass through this period. But I believe as a result of how the whole the structure is designed by the Israeli authorities, the main purpose is to affect the psychological well-being of everybody who passed through this experience. And many people ask us about the psychological situation of Palestinian children who passed through this experience, despite the fact that we do not provide psychological support for Palestinian children after being released, but our role is to refer them to other organizations. We believe that everybody who passed through this experience will be psychologically affected. And the level of the psychological impact depends on the age of the child when he was arrested, the types of ill treatment and torture used against him. I'm using him because the majority of children are boys. And the period that the child spent inside the Israeli prison. And children families inform us that children were psychologically affected. And the bizarre thing, when we ask children about their experience and how was it, they said normal, adi. When we ask their families, they inform us that this child is different than the child before being arrested. So, but children regard it as normal because they pass through the whole process. So they do not realize the change that is happening slowly on their personality, on their emotions, on their how they are dealing with things.
It is terrifying what you're saying, and I cannot even imagine the psychological harm that these children are going through, and how long it probably takes, if ever, to get out of it. Ayad, are you or your organization, DCIP, under any kind of threat by the Israeli authorities?
The DCIP was under constant campaign of discrediting, defame, and defund. And this process started 10 years ago or more through civil society, Israeli civil society organization that tried to discredit the DCIP. Through attempts to make this to make connection between DCIP and terrorist organizations. So these Israeli civil society organization like the UN Watch and CAMERA, the UK Lawyers for Israel, almost they approach all our partners and donors in order to discredit the organization. At some point, they discovered that they were unable to achieve their goals. So Israel, the official Israel, jump in, and the Israeli Minister of Defense declared DCI as a terrorist organization. Before declaring the organization, DCI offices were raided. Some of our equipment and files were confiscated. After declaring the organization by the Israeli Defense Minister as terrorist organization, the Israeli military commander of the area outlawed the organization through a military order because, legally speaking, DCI offices and we are working under or within the Palestinian Authority jurisdiction. So it's not the role of the Israeli Defense Minister to designate the organization as terrorist organization because we get our license from the Palestinian Authority, but it's arbitrary decision against the organization. And this decision was echoed by the military commander of the area and issued a military order that declared DCI, in addition to five other organizations, as outlawed organization and prevented us from operating, whether physically or through online or through any possible way. Despite this, DCI and the other organization continue their work because we challenge this decision because it's baseless. Decision, and we are continuing our work as usual. But we don't know about the consequences. At any point, the Israeli authorities may raid my home and arrest me under the accusation that I am affiliated to a terrorist organization. So, but this is the situation of human rights defenders everywhere, that they should challenge the decisions of the oppressive authorities. So we accept this challenge and we continue to serve children and do our best in order to protect them. But we don't know about the consequences and what the Israeli authorities may do in the future against the organization or against its staff. They may arrest staff members, they may confiscate its assets, they may prevent us from traveling, they may do anything.
So you're all working under constant personal threats or possibility of arrest, and you
For
continue
sure.
what you're doing.
And I think that the tide now it's higher under Because Israel in the West Bank and all the crimes committed in the West Bank, it is committed in the shadow of the genocide that committed in Gaza. So it's not an issue if they killed more than Palestinian people every day in the West Bank, in addition to the 100 that they are killing in Gaza. So for human rights defenders, they may do anything under such a situation. So they may arrest or do anything against human rights defenders.
I think the rest of the world needs to take notice and start speaking up. Those of us who have stayed silent for so long, here is, your example. In spite of personal threats and harm to you, you're continuing on with the work. It's remarkable, and I thank you for it.
Thank you a lot. This is the minimum that we should do.
What would you like to tell the world? What is your message to everybody out there? And how can people help you?
I think that as humans, we are as animals. We should protect each other, regardless where we are. So this is our collective responsibility towards the humankind. So it's your responsibility and my responsibility as well to protect every human being everywhere and anywhere. But unfortunately, until now, people are watching the hate committed against Palestinian people and the problem that this genocide has been normalized. It becomes normal to wake up every day and to watch the television and to know that 100 Palestinian people were killed as the Israeli genocidal campaign in Gaza. And the bizarre thing that our officials, whether in the US, in Europe, they are calling to defend Israel. And they will do their best in order to provide Israel to protect itself. And they don't care about civilians who are killed as the result of the Israeli genocidal campaign. So my message to the world is to behave and like animals and to protect each other. It's our responsibility to do so. And it's our obligation. So far, we didn't live up to this responsibility. It's our responsibility to raise our voice before our officials, our governments, to live up to their obligation to protect civilians everywhere.
And how would you like people to help you?
I think through doing their best to protect children, not just in Palestine, everywhere, because what's happening against Palestinian children now will happen against Palestinian against other children in other parts of the world. So if we didn't succeeded in bridging the gap between the principles, the standards that protect civilians and the practice, I think this will be happened in other places in the world, and we as a human being are the losers.
That was very beautifully said. I believe it's not just children, but whatever happens to one part of the world will eventually happen to somebody else. So somebody's present is eventually going to become my present. So it is important to stop the oppression and stand up for those anywhere who are suffering injustice. Beautifully said. Thank you for that. My last question for you is, give us three resources to learn more about your work.
Mainly, our main resource is our website, dci-palestine.org. And from there, you can reach out to our social media channels, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and everything. So as an organization, our role to highlight the violation to Palestinian children through these channels to inform the world about the situation of Palestinian children under the Israeli occupation.
Thank you so much for your time. This was a super enlightening conversation. Thank you for all the work you do. I hope you continue to do it for many years to come, but I also hope that your work is not needed and children everywhere are free.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to us today. Feel free to subscribe to the podcast and follow us on Instagram at Radio Inqilab. Until next time, Abjo.